Here are just a few of the headlines that featured in Irish newspapers in early April of 1920. Easter rising myths, barricades around Dublin, bonfires of Easter Eve, and enormous claims for compensation. I'm joined now by historian and author Liz Gillis to tell us about the dramatic events that unfolded across Ireland on the 3rd and 4th of April, Easter weekend, 1920. Liz, just in general terms, tell us what did happen that weekend.
Basically, the IRA undertook a massive operation right across the country in which they destroyed the records of pretty much every income tax office in Ireland. The IRA's campaign was to make the country ungovernable, and what better way to do that than to attack right at the heart of the British civil administration by destroying all the tax records, because as we know, government needs money to function, and if this was successful, this would cause a huge financial loss to the Exchequer and then also disrupt the collection methods. So it would cause huge, huge disruption, and it would involve every brigade of the IRA throughout the country.
And did the British have any inkling, any intelligence at all about what was planned?
They had a suspicion that something might happen. They actually thought it was going to be another rising, which is what they suspected every year since the Easter rising. And when you look at Dublin at the time, for that weekend, they put a ring of steel around Dublin, around Galway. And you have like photographs of the military standing at barbed wire barricades. There's actually a great photograph from the Daily Sketch on the 5th of April where it shows a man being searched by six soldiers at a barricade. And the headline reads, "Dublin's latest terror." And the caption states that, "As a precaution against an armed rising like that which took place in Easter week 1916, Dublin was surrounded by troops and nobody was allowed to pass without being searched. Notwithstanding the measures taken, several income tax offices were burnt down."
So give us some of the details. What happened around the country that weekend?
Every battalion commander or brigade commandant were told to destroy the records of tax offices in their area. Now, they did state specifically that it was only the tax records that were to be destroyed. No other documents were to be taken or destroyed or money touched. On Holy Saturday night, from about 7 o'clock onwards, that's exactly what happened. IRA units around the country went to every tax office in their area and either destroyed the contents, the records, or in some cases actually destroyed the buildings.
Now, some of the buildings are quite interesting because you think of government offices, you think of government buildings, but that wasn't the case in all of the instances here.
No, a lot of the offices were actually people's houses. The tax collectors kept the documents in their homes. So that's also why it was stipulated that there was only those records were to be targeted, and also that no one was to get injured. They were ordered that no one was to be injured in this operation.
And did that happen? Were they successful in that part of the operation?
They actually were. Now, in some cases, you had members of staff were tied up. There was a caretaker. They used chloroform on him. But there was no real violence used against the tax collectors and the staff. You actually have a quote from the Connacht Tribune newspaper on the 10th of April, and it said that no shots were fired, the collectors were treated with courtesy, and while the military forces awaited rebellion, the dramatic coup was carried out with remarkable precision and regularity, the comprehensive plan apparently working without a hitch.
And in a couple of instances, I think in Tullamore and in Gorey, the IRA displayed very good manners indeed, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Again, the newspaper reports are fantastic about this. In Tullamore, the keys of the offices were taken by armed men, but they were subsequently returned with apologies. And then in Gorey, before the men left, they apologised to the tax collector, Mr. Eugene O'Connor, and his wife for any annoyance that they might have caused them, and, quote, "hope to meet them later under another form of government."
What's probably more celebrated, but perhaps not quite as significant, is that that weekend the IRA didn't just target income tax offices, did they?
No. On that same order, they also told the local IRA units to destroy the evacuated RIC barracks around the country.
Now, these barracks had been evacuated earlier in the year, hadn't they? They were, by and large, they were empty at this stage.
Yes, they were. With the evacuation of the smaller barracks around the country due to the attacks on the barracks by the IRA, it left large tracts of the country in the hands of the IRA. So to bulk up the numbers, you have the recruitment of the Black and Tans. They had begun to arrive in March. And so it was feared that then those barracks could be reoccupied. So to stop that, the order was given, destroy them. And that's exactly what happened.
Give us a sense of the scale of that operation.
It was huge. In that night alone, the figures given were that 218 barracks were destroyed in that operation. And that did continue because they continued to attack the barracks. And in the coming months, it rose to over 300 barracks were pretty much taken out.
And they were hugely successful, but not in Enniscorthy. What happened in Enniscorthy?
Yeah, there's only two instances where the IRA didn't destroy the tax records. In Enniscorthy, they got into the house of the tax collector. It was a Mr. Owens, and three masked men knocked at the door and pushed their way into the house. But he and his sister managed to stop them. The scuffle broke out and they pushed the three IRA men back out onto the road. But at that stage, a military patrol or a police patrol was coming on scene. So the three men got away. So they prevented those records being destroyed thanks to the quick thinking of Mr. Owens.
Now, one of the main aims was to cause a huge financial loss to the British Exchequer. Do we know what the figures were like? What did it cost the British Exchequer?
Oh, it was huge. It was massive. I have some figures that were reported in the Irish Independent for the claims that were put in for the loss of the records and the RAC barracks. And just to give you an example, in Tralee, there was a claim put in for £160,000. Dublin, £23,000. Kilkenny, £28,030. Leitrim, £20,826. Limerick, £60,000. And then Galway was £300,000. And the reason that's so high is because they did destroy an actual building.
What impact did the operation then have on the British administration, on the ongoing British administration?
Well, it did have a huge effect because the IRA had shown that the country was pretty much ungovernable. In terms of money lost, the government had to find another way now to raise money, and that was mainly through customs and excise. With the attacks on the barracks, the IRA secured their control over large parts of the country, and we know that the intelligence system was defunct, and that also was proven that weekend because they thought like an insurrection was going to happen when they'd no idea of what actually was going to take place. And they realised that, and you see then they respond by doing a complete overhaul of their administration from May onwards.
And there's always room for a bit of scandal, because amid all the claims being submitted, there was a scandal discovered where a claim was put in for an exorbitant amount of money. Tell us about that claim.
It's blazoned over the newspapers. I don't think they really wanted this to be discovered, but Inland Revenue put in a claim for £320,000. Now, Galway had put in the claim for £300,000. That was a building, you know, that had been destroyed. But this claim was put in to cover the cost of retrieving the information that was lost and getting all the necessary stationery, the books and ledgers and everything else. But then it was discovered copies of the records were actually stored in the Custom House. And at most, it would cost £10,000 to cover the stationary costs for the whole island of Ireland.
So this is the government basically trying to pull a fast one on the Irish ratepayers.
Yeah, and trying to make them pay for it. But it was discovered.
We leave it there, Liz. A fascinating story about a very busy weekend, the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of April, Easter weekend as it was then in 1920. Liz Gillis, thanks for joining us to discuss those dramatic events of that weekend in 1920. That's all we've time for on this evening's programme. Details of all our items, as well as podcasts, are available on our website, rte.ie/historyshow. Our researcher is Liz Gillis. Our reader tonight was Malcolm Adams. The History Show is a Pegasus production for RTE. For now, for me, Miles Dungan, and producer Lorcan Clancy, goodbye and thanks for listening.